Next, the Hudson Mohawk Magazine brings you coverage of Scott Pruitt's resignation from activist and artist Ellie Irons. Ellie is a Troy and Brooklyn-based artist and activist whose work creates new ways for talking and thinking and acting in regards to the interconnection of human lives with other Earth systems. Since 2017, Irons has been working with the Environmental Performance Agency, a collective that uses artistic, social, and embodied practices to advocate for the agency of all living performers, specifically through the lens of spontaneous urban plants. Welcome to the show, Ellie. Did I miss anything in that introduction?
That sounded great. Thanks okay. So much, Guy.
Well, thank you so much for talking with us today. Can you start off by talking a little about what the Environmental Performance Agency is?
Sure, happy to. I mean, you gave a great introduction, but maybe it's helpful for folks to understand that we all are artists and we're coming from a variety of backgrounds. We formed about a year ago in response, a little more than a year, in response to the new administration and to the appointment of Pruitt and to the way that he was treating the Environmental Protection Agency. And we named ourselves to match that acronym, but to substitute performance, because we are really interested in rethinking the relationship of what it means to protect the environment, not just to think solely about humans, but to think about entanglement, the way that plants and water and air and soil and people and animals and insects are all completely interconnected in terms of the future of public health, and that non-human species are also part of the public.
That's a really interesting distinction, that performance versus protection kind of thing. Can you talk about where that perspective has taken you to critique the role of Scott Pruitt in the transformation of the Environmental Protection Agency?
Sure. Yeah. I mean, it's been kind of an interesting ride for us, because we've struggled, you know, always knowing that Pruitt might be on his way out the door, to think about what's happening overall at the agency. But we have found ourselves focusing on Pruitt so much because of the kind of, for one thing, lack of transparency at the agency and what he's done in terms of kind of sequestering himself. He's supposed to be a civil servant. And instead of that, we've seen him kind of not meet with career Environmental Protection Agency folks and instead meet with industry lobbyists. And the kind of thing that's been horrifying is to watch the kind of turning away from these. I mean, not that the Environmental Protection Agency was ever fully fledged in terms of what we might hope it would do in terms of protection, kind of turning away from that mission entirely and focusing much more on like the future of the economy rather than thinking about climate and health and the ways that we're all going to somehow move past this crisis we're in, because we are in a crisis. The mass extinction is happening. And instead of that, we're thinking about at the agency, he had steered things to be thinking about the future of the economy.
Right. It seems like so many of his policies were based on protecting the corporations that
exactly.
are destroying the environment rather than protecting the environment.
Yeah, and maybe to get to the second part of that question, one of our responses early on was we were just trying to figure out, what does this agency do? What is it meant to do? And looking back to its founding in 1970, we held a kind of participatory research-a-thon at our space, which was meant to be kind of movement-based. A lot of our members are choreographers or dancers. So we had a giant piece of paper laid out on the studio floor, probably like 12 by 12 feet. And we were mapping, what does our federal bureaucracy do? Trying to understand this thing, drawing all sorts of arrows and maps and charts. And we realized, oh my gosh, the Office of Environmental Justice is gone under Pruitt. It's been put somewhere else and its head has resigned. Climate change has disappeared from the website. And then in that process, we realized the EPA was drafting a new strategic plan at that moment. This is the document that says what they'll do over the next 4 years. And all of the horrendousness of the changes happening and the kind of rollbacks was kind of put together in that strategic plan, and they were taking public comments on it. So this was a moment where we realized, okay, as this kind of agitating environmental art group, it's our responsibility to make folks know that the comment process is something that they can participate in and to make it more engaging. Because you go to regulations.gov, you type in a box, it can feel very alienating and like they're only looking for a certain kind of expert to type in the box. So we made something called On Behalf of .life, which is a platform that encourages people to comment on behalf of another species. So you're thinking about, okay, I watch these birds outside my window every day. They're not going to go type in the box. What might they want Scott Pruitt to know about the way that the environment's changing? And our focus, of course, is on wild urban plants, the plants we live with every day in the city. So we've kind of emphasized that. But we did go ahead and actually collect public comments through this platform We've done it multiple times and have delivered those as formal comments. We're dead serious about it. We feel like this is something that should be taken into account by our regulators.
Right. You're able to speak for the trees this way, which is amazing. Turning that into an actual system.
Yeah.
Can you talk about other kinds of methods you've used to express your critiques to Pruitt and the rest of the EPA?
Sure. I mean, we got really lucky recently in that we were invited to do an exhibition in Washington, D.C., and so we made that into the headquarters for an arm of the Environmental Performance Agency, which we called the Department of Weedy Affairs, and we spent on and off about a month down there doing different public actions. So we did a weedy resistance walk on the National Mall. We also did a closing event where we actually went to the EPA headquarters and spent the afternoon there kind of doing a variety of kind of performative actions, but also talking to people. We delivered these public comments that we'd been gathering and kind of we're just kind of testing out like what it's like as this kind of rogue shadow version of the Environmental Protection Agency to be there in place in the face of this giant edifice that represents protection, supposedly, for the nation.
Right. It seems like there are just a lot of avenues for communication between between the environment, between people, between different species and this agency that are just completely absent and have always been absent even prior to the appointment of Scott Pruitt. And it seems like the kind of explorations you're doing are really trying to just imagine what it could look like to connect
those
two.
Totally. I mean, there's definitely a utopian side to the project because it is very much like, okay, we're in this moment of this kind of collapse of regulation and rollback of regulation, and rather than mourning that loss, let's reimagine an agency that actually is there for ecological justice for all life, and what would that look like, and try to enact it a little bit. While also, I mean, we are mourning and angry and frustrated by what we're seeing happen in front of us, but trying to play around with humor and with absurdity, while also, like I said earlier, being dead serious about our claims that we need to take the kind of interconnections between life forms really seriously.
Yeah, absolutely. I think that kind of utopian thinking is the only thing that can really get us to a world that's different from the world that we've inhabited so far.
I hope so.
Yeah. So is the resignation of Scott Pruitt welcome news to the Environmental Performance Agency?
Oh, wow. I mean, yes, we definitely were excited. There was a lot of text message exchanging immediately and lots of emojis among our team. But the next question immediately was like, wait a minute, who's replacing him? And kind of concern about that. And there is a lot of concern around what will come next, because we know that Pruitt, as kind of an outsider with very little experience in Washington, D.C., was actually kind of ineffective in a lot of ways. I mean, he was very decisive. He rolled back a lot of stuff, but he got kind of mired in scandal. Mm-hmm. And I think Wheeler, the next guy coming along, who's at least going to be there for 4 months or so, is known as like a career politician and could be actually perhaps more effective, and also has a similarly egregious, I think he was an aide to one of the top climate deniers in the Senate or Congress. So not looking good that way.
Right. Can you talk a little about the Environmental Performance Agency's proposed replacement for Scott Pruitt?
Well, actually, when we were doing the Department of Weedy Affairs, we held a campaign to, actually, we were thinking about the Science Advisory Board, because what Scott Pruitt had done was take a bunch of career scientists and academics off the board and replace them with industry members. So we were proposing, you know what, let's roll some of those folks back and put in our weedy plant of choice, which is Artemisia vulgaris, also known as mugwort. So we had nominated mugwort for the Science Advisory Board. This is a community organizer of a plant. I mean, it's known for being able to go into damaged soil and what some people would say take over and be aggressive and invasive. We like to flip that narrative about how we think about the kinds of plants that come into landscapes that humans have damaged. We think of it as actually a healer, something that will be there probably not operating on capitalist time, but on a time scale that's hard for humans to understand in terms of repairing, almost acting like a scab to heal a wound. Beautiful plant too, also. Nicely scented and supposed to evoke dreams.
Right, so, I was just going to say that.
Yeah, like lucid dreaming. But we would be very happy to offer Artemisia as a replacement for Pruitt.
And it seems like all of that would be really necessary in the Environmental Protection Agency right now.
Totally.
Let's see. Can you talk about what... I mean, do you know anything about Wheeler?
Only what I just mentioned. I've did, you know, some quick research. He's the deputy director right now and a career politician, is kind of known for working behind the scenes. So, you know, I think he'll only be in place, it sounds like, until Trump nominates the next person. Mm-hmm. And it sounded like Wheeler is not necessarily interested in stepping into that role, although he could be considered. So there's a few names floating around for who Trump might nominate. I'm guessing that, you know, Pruitt was really carrying out Trump's kind of desire in terms of like rolling back regulations. So although Pruitt seemed to go at it with this like crazy zeal, I think that, you know, Trump's probably looking for someone who will follow that same game plan.
Right. Terrifying.
Yeah, terrifying.
All right, kind of switching topics. I've been seeing you and your colleagues at the Environmental Performance Agency talking about the weaponization of transparency by the EPA lately.
Oof.
Can you talk a little about that?
Yeah, I'm happy to. This is a really... It's a frustrating new rule, and I mean, we've called it Pruitt's rule, but I think it's going ahead regardless. It's been proposed by the Environmental Protection Agency that they will consider a less wide range of data. So they're actually going to limit the data that they'll consider in drafting new environmental regulations, and they're calling this transparency, but it's a gross distortion of the idea of openness and transparency in science, which sounds good, which is part of why this is so horrifying. It's like this Trojan horse situation. What they're actually doing is saying that data that is not transparent enough, which often means public health data, because there's situations where people have participated in studies and they need to be anonymous based on just privacy concerns, that kind of information won't be considered by the EPA anymore. And there's super important studies, like, for example, really important studies on air pollution and asthma and longevity that have proven that there's environmental justice concerns around poor and people of color being adversely impacted by this kind of thing. If the agency's not going to consider this stuff, that's really going to be a problem moving forward for public health.
Right. So it seems like kind of a loss of transparency at the upper levels and demand for transparency on the people most affected.
Totally. Yeah. It's really a reversal of what you would hope for in transparency. And our argument as the EPA is that, as the Environmental Performance Agency, is that we need to expand who we think of as experts. And so we would expand that all the way to Artemisia vulgaris, but we would also include the people who are living with these burdens every day as the experts in their own health. We'd certainly want that kind of information to be taken into account.
Right.
Yeah. So please comment against the proposed rule if you're up to it, or at least visit On Behalf of .life and you can learn more about it there.
All right. Thank you so much. I think we are going to have to cut the interview there. But thank you so much for coming and speaking with us today.
Wonderful. Thank you. So much for having me.
Yeah. All right. That was Ellie Irons, activist and artist with the Environmental Performance Agency, speaking with us about the implications of Scott Pruitt's resignation.